When I was a child, we had this old nativity set. It was a barn made of wood, maybe this big, maybe this tall. It had I think my dad might have made it. I'm not sure. It was around forever in my childhood, as far back as I can remember. It had this roof made of these little slats, right? And then the front was open, except for a little rail across maybe two-thirds of it to make it look like a little bit of a stall, I guess. And with it came this this green, like, fake grass, because of course there was grass in the stable. It didn't look like straw, it looked like grass. And it you could roll it out and it would be like on the floor of the barn, and then there was more to put out in front, and that was where all the little figurines went. And the figurines were made of plaster, I think. They were very old, hollow, light, and it was all of them, Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds, little animals. We would set this nativity set up along with our Christmas tree the evening of the first Sunday of Advent every year. First the tree, a plastic tree, with all of its lights and its decorations, and then the nativity set would go underneath. We'd place all the little figures just so. My sister and I would take turns on different years to be in charge of the nativity set. And so we would place all the figures just so. Mary and Joseph would be next to the manger inside the barn, and the wise men, they'd be near the entrance, and then the shepherds would be nearby also, and everybody would be looking at that manger. The little animals, there was an ox and a couple of sheep, and one of the shepherds had a little sheep over his shoulders too. The animals were all scattered about on this green, turfy looking grass, and we'd have to bury their little feet into the grass so they wouldn't fall over because they were top heavy. But we wouldn't put baby Jesus into the manger until we came home from the Christmas Eve candlelight service. And there was also this little light bulb. There was a hole drilled in the back of the barn, and there was a light bulb back there, like an orange Christmas light or a yellow old style Christmas tree light. And we would turn that on too, but not until Christmas Eve. We were waiting for the right time, right? And what we did during that time of waiting, that time between setting up the nativity set and putting the baby Jesus into the manger, really, we just kind of went about our lives. I mean, there was added anticipation of presents in a few weeks for us kids, right? And the tree was there in the room, reminding us that the season was a little different. But we really just kind of went about our lives. I grew up Lutheran. And in that church and in my family, I was taught both implicitly and explicitly that the point of Advent was to wait for the birth of Jesus and to prepare our hearts, right? Let every heart prepare him room. Although if I was ever actually told what that meant, I have forgotten all about it. The waiting felt pretty passive. We were active in church, and so we did things like decorate it for Christmas and attend every Sunday and sing the songs and hear the pastor and see another candle on that Advent wreath be lit. A couple of times I was in the nativity play, but it all felt like just a different season. The anticipation wasn't so much there. I don't remember being encouraged to do anything different. I know that's not everyone's experience who was brought up in a Christian faith, but I didn't really get how waiting could be an active thing until I got pregnant. And then I realized that waiting for the arrival of a child is one of the least passive things we can do. Whether we're expecting a birth or an adoption or any other way that a child can become part of a family, We're spending the time of waiting actively preparing for that to happen. We set up a room for them, both literally and figuratively. I spent most of my pregnancy in deep preparation for how to connect with my child for lots of different reasons. I was afraid that I could not. And so I learned her sex. I looked at the 3D ultrasound pictures with the little nose that is the same nose as my mother's nose and my sister's nose and my grandmother's nose and mine. I spent time planning her birth in great detail. I felt her moving inside me. I could feel her in there. I learned about attachment parenting, the style of parenting that I thought would be best for connecting with my child. And I didn't call it this at the time, but I was preparing my heart to open. And it was very active. It was very hopeful in a time of waiting. I'm sorry, my dog is distracting me. I'm grateful that this idea of active, hopeful waiting has come back to me now in this particular time, because that was 15 years ago. And I'm not in that place anymore in my heart and my spirit. But this idea, it's just what my tired soul needs after a year and a half of feeling like I've had to be even more passive than ever, right? Pandemic time has been hard. My mind feels fuzzy. My body feels soft. Both impacts of this passive waiting for this to be over. And so, as some of you alluded to, last Thanksgiving was stressful. I didn't know what was safe to do, and so our usual visits were done so very differently, with so much care. We stayed in the house that we used to live in Indiana, which happened to be between renters, right? So we could stay safely on our own instead of staying with friends. We ate our dinner, our Thanksgiving meal, in that house by ourselves. It was a lovely meal that Catherine and I cooked together, but it was just us. And then we went to an outdoor gathering around a bonfire. We wore masks. We didn't hug. We didn't share food. Our warmth and our care were there, but they were somehow muted, right, by this waiting to learn what we could do and be safe. And so this year we did get to be with our people. There were hugs. There was food. There was warm indoors. And I hope the same was true for you. Our COVID numbers in Dane County and where we traveled in Indiana are still high. And yet, we are learning to live with this thing, to wait a little more actively, to learn which restrictions maybe didn't make sense and which ones still do, and what we can do to be together. And that all came to me this Thanksgiving. It brought me the chance to stop and notice what I have instead of stressing about what I don't have, and to say thank you, to feel gratitude, to feel joy. And now, today, back home, grounded in that gratitude and joy, to move into the season of waiting. Our Christian siblings say we are preparing our hearts for the peace of Jesus to enter. And I love how Reverend Gonzalez reminds us that this is like how Mary prepared her heart to be a mother, how Joseph prepared his heart for a life of solidarity, how God prepared God's heart for moving among the humans he made and loves more than anything. With my Christian background that I've opened and widened into this progressive faith that I've found, and in this beautifully active, hopeful community we co-create, I say that I'm preparing my heart for the great turning of the world, a turning toward love. For me, that means I'm paying attention to what is going right and to what is going wrong. I'm cultivating gratitude for what's right, the sun and the stars and the woods and the fields and the lakes and the plants and the bees and the ducks, my friends, my chosen family, my ability to travel, to see them, to be with them, my dog and my amazing teenager, who are both here with me this morning, a warm home, a good landlord, enough food and clean water. So many things to be grateful for. And I'm grieving what's wrong. The violence, the ever-widening divisions, the hunger, the homelessness, the hateful rhetoric and lack of care and hardening of hearts, the climate, the extinctions, the water, the fires, so much. There is as much to grieve as there is to be grateful for. And there is as much to be grateful for as there is to grieve. And in opening my heart to all of that, all of the gratitude and the grief, in feeling them in their fullness and holding them together, holding them, I'm learning what it is to wait, hopefully and actively, to know what is most important, most precious, and to feel them as mine. And then to feel myself turning toward their care, actively hoping, participating in holding them in love, standing up, speaking out, caring for and caring with. This is how the world begins to turn. Gratitude, grieving, noticing, holding, waiting, turning. May it be so, and may we be so.